Father, we thank you because we are joyous this morning. We're so grateful that we can come into a place like this and just worship. As we've gathered in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful. And we sing joy to the world because of Jesus. And Lord, as we are gathered together, we can't help but worship you and say thank you. We just praise you this morning. We glorify you in this place. And what the Christmas season brings and this time together that we have to share as a family, as the body of Christ, we give you thanks, oh God. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Well, I tell you, it's that was fun watching these kids, and you know, it's such a fun time to gather together. I know that it's fun because I'm excited about my sermon this morning. It's only about 45 minutes long, so it'll be fine. So hold on. I'm kidding. Glad you can understand my horrible sense of humor. So today we're celebrating Jesus, and that's why we've gathered today as Christians. We're talking about Jesus, the one who is the giver of life. And so I really want to just highlight a passage of Scripture. It's just a small passage. It's one of those nuggets, if you will, in Scripture. One of those keys that is so vital to our to the whole surroundings of why Jesus came. Why Jesus came to earth. What did he do this for? And it's found in John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. We've got it up there in front of you. You don't need to turn to your Bibles, and if you like to, go for it. But John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, I am the gate. You know all of these passages of Scripture where Jesus describes himself or someone describes Jesus? This is one of those where, you know, we think of Jesus being the bread of life, and he talks about all these different things, but this is the one where Jesus calls himself a gate. That's pretty interesting. He said, I'm the gate. That's kind of awkward, kind of weird to me because I'm thinking, why would Jesus talk about himself as a gate? He says, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Well, for those of you farmers in here today, you understand the importance of fencing. You understand the importance of gates because if you have a fence around to keep your livestock in, you see, there's an important aspect is the gate. There's such an important aspect of the gate. Jesus describes himself as that very important aspect because you have to go in, you have to come out to pasture to find those good, beautiful things called the nourishment for the livestock. So Jesus calls himself, he is the gate. They will come in, they will go out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I just want to dissect this passage really quick for us just to get us an idea of what Jesus is truly talking about. So first I want to talk about that Jesus tells that Satan has goals for us. The devil, Satan, has goals for you and for me. And I want to highlight them really fast. You see, number one, he thinks that Jesus or that Satan, we need to know that we believe that Satan has these horrible goals, and one of them is to steal, the second is to kill, and the third is to destroy. So the first goal is this deception. Satan loves to deceive you. Satan wants, his goal is to deceive you, to make you believe something that is untrue. John chapter 8, verse 44. That is the main way Satan steals from us. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. So Satan loves to lie. He loves to deceive you. And so if you've been a Christian long enough, you understand what I'm talking about. And when you think of things in your mind and you think of, man, I just feel so weird. I feel so different. And it's just the influence of the devil rocking your brain. He's just simply saying he's deceiving you. He's lying to you. His goal is to deceive you. Satan's goal is to kill you, really. I mean, it's death. One of Satan's goals is for you not to exist any longer. And so the second one is death. Satan does not want you to be here. I've read stories about missionaries. I've read stories about people going overseas, and they would be in the mission field, but yet there's so much darkness, so much evil, so much demonic activity that they felt like they just wanted to die. They felt like, oh my goodness, this overwhelming depression of suicide. And this overwhelming feeling that oh my goodness, I just want to die. You see, that's Satan's goal. That's Satan's goal, is for you to die. And so let's not call it anything else but demonic oppression, demonic possession, that Satan wants you dead. How about that for a Christmas message this morning, huh? You all feeling good? It's the truth. Jesus said that his first goal is deception. His second goal, that Satan's second goal is death. And the third of Satan's goal is to include destruction. You know, he wants to destroy our homes. Did you know that? He wants to destroy our happiness. He wants to destroy our children. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our country. You see, Satan he's the father of destruction. He wants chaos. Remember we talked about that last Sunday. He has come to bring chaos to your life. That's one of Satan's goals. And so don't call it anything else. Say, oh, I'm having a bad day, a horrible week. No, Satan wants you to be deceived. He's the father of lies. He wants you to die because he doesn't want you to go to heaven and live eternally with Jesus. He wants you just gone, and he wants to bring you chaos and destruction in your life. Well, Jesus tells a couple of his goals as well in this passage of Scripture. Jesus tells about one of his goals. The first goal of Jesus is to give us everlasting life. Everlasting life, that's why Jesus came. Satan came to destroy, to distract, to kill you, but Jesus says, no, that's all right. I'm coming to bring everlasting life. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to give us everlasting life. He was talking about this spiritual life. And in John, we read this before today. John chapter 3, verse 16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 14, to a lost Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of the water I shall give him, he will never thirst again. You see, Jesus' goal is to give us everlasting life. Satan wants to destroy us, to deceive us. You see, The second goal of Christ, I'm moving fast because I know we've got to get somewhere today. I want to make sure that you grab a hold of what we're meeting here about today, why we exist. His first goal is to give us everlasting life. His second goal is to give us an excellent life, life more abundant. So everlasting life is the future, is what we have hope to look forward to, and the excellent life is where we are today. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life, and they have life more abundantly. You know, we live in a day of discontent, don't we? Discontentment is everywhere. Someone puts it this way. I think this was funny. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. Warm days and great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. Colorful leaves, cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but I was 20. It was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Interesting, huh? We live in a life of discontentment. We're always wanting something else. We're always wanting a different stage. We wish we weren't in this position or what have you. You see, understanding that we have got to be content because Jesus has come to give us life, an excellent life, more abundance. Doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth sailing, right? Life stinks sometimes, right? It's the way it goes. But see, the eternal life, the hope that we found in Jesus, the excellent life, these are his goals for us. I want to take a look at a picture that I have of a butterfly. Throw that butterfly up there, Lucas. So we've got this beautiful butterfly, and there's a scientific name behind this butterfly, but I can't pronounce that Latin word. And so we're going to call it the blue butterfly. And so what the blue butterfly does, it's a beautiful butterfly. It lays its eggs upon a leaf, and those eggs turn into caterpillars, right? Those caterpillars then stay on that leaf for some time, and they absorb the nutrients. And what takes place in this beautiful blue butterfly, and he lays the eggs, and then or she lays the eggs, and then these caterpillars fall from the leaves. And what these caterpillars in this butterfly do is they secrete a really sugary substance from their body. They secrete a sugary substance from their body, and what ends up taking place is the ant loves that sugary substance. The ant loves the sugary substance. It finds it very tasty. Of course, what the ant does is it picks that caterpillar up, takes it to its nest, and there it resides. See, that what ends up taking place then is that caterpillar feeds on all of the ants in the entire nest. And that is the beautiful circle of life that we live in. You see, I show you that illustration today. I show you that illustration because Satan is viewed as this beautiful thing, or we can call the world and all of the allure of the world something so beautiful, something so innocent, and as he plants little things into our lives, as innocent may we see as a caterpillar in the ant. But as he plants that stuff, all that sin, all that garbage in our lives, you see, he's a deceiver. His goal is for you to die. He wants you to go, oh, I want a taste of that. I want a little taste of that. So, hey, come in. I invite you into my home. I invite you into my life. I invite you. Come on, it's sweet. It tastes so well. A lot of times we take Satan and his larva into our lives, into our home, and we don't even realize it because we're just simply saying, wow, this is a good thing. Everybody else is doing it. What ends up taking place is that Satan destroys and kills and deceives. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to understand that although there's beautiful butterfly and although there's things in life that are so tempting to us, that we don't allow Satan to infiltrate our lives. We don't allow Satan to infiltrate our homes. We don't allow Satan to absolutely take us captive. And so you realize today why Jesus came. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to abolish that interesting, weird circle of life we call sin. I invite the band to come on up as we close our service today. And I want us just to consider this morning, as a short message, as this really interesting, simple truth of Christianity, we have the opportunity, we have the option to invite Satan into our lives and allow him to kill, to destroy, and to distract you. We have that opportunity. In fact, the world is full of sin. The world is full of those opportunities. And I'm asking you today, where are you? Where are you at? Have you allowed Satan to come into your life as that ultimate father of lies? Have you allowed that the blindingness of the sweetness of sin to blind you, to not even realize that you will be killed and eaten alive? You see, I want to warn you today. I want to show you today. I want to illustrate to you today why Jesus came. Because as the children so beautifully displayed today, as Tom and Brenda so beautifully read their candle lighting, and as those read up here today, the progression, the salvation message, it all ties in together, doesn't it? Jesus came to abolish sin. Jesus came to cut that sin cycle off. So we no longer have to be slaves to sin. We no longer have to be slaves to what Satan wants for us. We don't have to agree to what Satan wants for you. You simply say, I want Jesus in my life. I'm going to live for him each and every day. I'm going to cut the life cycle of sin. live life abundantly. I'm going to live life abundantly with Jesus Christ. And so that's the message today. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. Let's stand together. Lord, we celebrate the fact that you have sent Jesus, the one who has come to abolish sin, abolish the life cycle, and completely shatter the goals of Satan. So for that, we give you thanks. For that, we give you praise. I pray for those in here today, God, that they would consider what is going on in their lives, that they would consider and check their lives, check their hearts to see if Satan has drawn them astray. So God, this morning, as we give you thanks for this holiday season, this Christmas season, we pray that lives will be changed from the inside out this morning. So God, this morning, as we close this time together, I ask for your Holy Spirit to do a mighty, mighty thing beyond this time that we have, beyond this moment, beyond this sanctuary. I pray that your Spirit would work in people's lives, that would stir them up, that would cause them to be convicted of their sin and cause them to see that they are not in a position where they need to be. I pray that your Spirit would do a mighty, mighty work in our lives. That you would make us a church that says no to sin and yes to everlasting life, so that we can live a life abundantly through Jesus Christ. We glorify you today.